Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Thanks for coming to hang out today.
I'm Christina.
That's good.
Oh, my God. Just do the thing.
I'm Ryan.
And we're
making a podcast.
Partners. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Woo.
How's your week?
It's been really good. I surprised hot boyfriend with a birthday party on Saturday.
Yeah.
And he was not surprised that something was happening. I kind of let that out. But he was surprised at what it was because I'm a horrible planner. Like, I dropped the ball on everything, as you know, my scene partner. And so he got there and I had four like intricate multi-part challenges that I designed in this little head of mine. And he came up to me at one point, and we are not a PDA couple at all. And he gave me a kiss and he went, "This is amazing."
What?
I was like, "Are you proposing to me?" Because the answer is yes.
And then he's like, I'm not.
I'm like, "Is there a ring in one of these eggs?" And he's like, You set this up. And I'm like, "You probably still figuring out how to do it. Which one is it?"
Wow. I mean, like, I have chills. It's so romantic of him to say that to you.
I know. For most people, that's like, "Oh, God, he touched you in public. Cool." And I'm like, "This is a really big deal.
It's a big step forward for you.
It's our first act of public displays of affection in 6 years.
Yeah.
So that was my week. How was your week?
It was my birthday.
Oh, right.
I turned an undisclosed age.
32. You've said it like 20 times on the podcast. Okay. And may I say, Ryan, you are looking urban chic today.
Thank you.
Wait. Oh, that's not the one you wanted. That was actually meant to be a compliment.
I want
to
look urban street.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, you don't. So let's move it all on.
Okay.
For the audience who can't see him, Ryan's shirt is tucked in.
Okay, I came from work.
I'm just painting a picture.
I came from work.
Painting a picture. I'll take a photo and put it on Instagram, folks. It's fine. You vote on the Instagram, urban street or urban chic.
Or just sexy.
Yeah, that'll be one of the options. Or none of the above.
Okay.
I'm having a great time.
Yeah. I went to Vancouver for work. Vancouver is the best city in Canada.
Really?
I love it. It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
You like looking out your hotel room to mountains and the ocean at the same time.
Yeah, it's not. There's no topping that.
Okay, here's a question for you. I love air travel. I love it.
Great.
I'm fine not taking an aisle seat because I like to look out the window.
Yeah, most people prefer a window seat.
What kind of psychopath would take
aggressive.
An aisle seat and not get up the entire flight? It's a 4-hour flight. Who would do that? Even as a courtesy to the people in the row with you, they should get up and walk along a bit just to be like, what if you need to go to the bathroom? Why put the onus on me to ask to go over them?
Really?
You don't have to pee once on a 4-hour flight. Zero times. And you take an aisle seat. You should be like, "Oh, I never pee. I have a huge bladder. I'm going to sit at the window."
Wow.
That sounds like a sick thing to do.
I want
to
be there with you on this. But I'm just like, I've never once been in the aisle seat and thought to myself, in case these two other people need to pee and don't want to tell me,
yeah,
I'll get up. Because I assume the two other people, if one of them had to go to the washroom, they'd be like, "Excuse me," and I would happily get up. It's
but
not
I
like this person's like locked in and they're like, "No,
that's
4 hours.
That's how it feels being at the window."
JP, do you agree with just nod, or do you agree with me or Ryan?
You.
Yeah. It's
weird. No.
It is not the responsibility of someone in the aisle seat to be like just constantly looking at you, be like, "Oh, they look like they gotta go."
Be considerate.
Like tracking how many free drinks you're getting, be like, "Oh, they're at Six Waters. I should get up.
Yeah.
I should get up." Oh, God.
On a 4-hour flight, the people come by like 3 times for drinks.
Yeah.
And I'm just drinking tea. You know that runs right through my body.
So then you're like, "Excuse me, aisle seat person, may I please just get up?"
Have you ever been on a flight, 4-hour flight, and not peed once?
Yes.
Oh.
4 hours is also not that long.
You should get up out of courtesy. That's all I'm saying.
I agree. You should get up out of courtesy if someone's like, "Excuse me, I need to use the washroom. Do you mind getting up?" And you're like, "Of course not."
They should tell the stewardess as they're getting on,
"I have a huge bladder. Sit me where you need to.
I have a huge bladder. Put me at the window." And then they would be like, "Yeah, thank you. We know people like you who don't pee.
We have a row of big bladder." I'm sorry. I want to be there with you. I just have never once
Okay.
thought it is on the person in the aisle seat to get up.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
No, it's fine. So that was a flight there. On the flight back, I was like, great. I'm going to pee right before the flight.
Just
so this
in
is not
case.
An issue. But then on the flight back, I felt really bad because I, again, had a window seat, obviously, you know, because I like looking out the window.
Yes.
But then the person who sat beside me was the most frail old, old man ever. And he was like, he barely made it on the plane. Like, I don't know. He was very talkative, but his motor skills were quite. So then he like sat down and he like had this like Starbucks, like hot coffee. And he's like trying to do a seatbelt up and put it between his legs. I was like, do you want me to like hold that? And he's like, oh, thank you. And then eventually he pulls out or he asks for two bottles of wine, like those little like airplane bottles.
Yeah.
And he's trying to open the lid and he can't. And he's just like shaking, trying to open. So I was like, do you want me to open that for you? And it's like almost like he's trolling me because then he pulls out this bag of popcorn, like a chip bag, and he can't open it. And he's like trying so hard to open this bag. I was like, do you want me to get that for you? And anyway, like we became buddies. But
oh, okay, wait. He
barely like sat down like physically. And then I'm sick still, but I was sick coming back and my nose was just dripping and I had nothing like to do it. So I was like, I need something to blow my nose with. And I was not going to ask him to like move. So then I was like ringing for the flight attendant to come help me.
Oh, okay. That story was great, moving. I'm glad you helped him. I was so distracted by wondering if someone was at the airport to meet him. Cause the thought of an elderly person getting to the airport and having no one there actually just like makes me want to cry uncontrollably.
I could have called you.
I would have. Oh, yeah, because you're flying back. I would have met him at the airport because I even sometimes see elderly people go down the escalator and clearly the person picking them up is late because they're like looking around for them and then their shoulders slump and then they go sit in a chair waiting because they can't get their luggage themselves. And you're like, why didn't you get there on time? Like, just leave 10 minutes early.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I mean,
was someone there?
I don't know.
You didn't follow to make sure he was okay?
No, I had to blow my nose. Oh my God. Went to the bathroom.
This elderly man said two bottles of wine and just a bit of popcorn.
I have 4 hours of snot built up. I could have blown my nose.
Oh,
somewhere.
God. What if he's still there?
He's not. I'm sure.
Oh, God.
I blew my nose, if you're wondering.
I wasn't worried about you. Should we go into our segment? Is this funny?
I don't know.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, I don't know.
What were you going to say?
How close of friends are we?
Oh, you want to go down this road? I don't think this is fun for the listeners. I think they're worried about us.
What's your favorite thing about me?
Oh, geez, Louise. Okay. Wow.
Your favorite thing.
Your favorite. Are you going to do this for me, too? You're probably already prepped on this.
Let me give you some ideas.
Oh, no. Okay, great.
I've been taking a spin class.
You're fit. You're looking fit.
My shirt's tucked into my pants today.
You're looking chic.
I brought you a beer today.
You did bring me a beer. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I was like, man, this guy with all of his spin classes and fashion, how does he fit this in?
Yeah.
I would say my favorite thing about you is you're so courageous.
That's such bullshit. I'm not courageous. I couldn't even ask somebody to get up so I could pee. I have to pee and I'm like,
okay.
I shouldn't.
Okay, hold on. My favorite thing about you.
Was this going to go in your Instagram post for my birthday?
Oh my God. Okay. That felt like, so I was like, I want to make a public statement that Ryan is my scene partner and this like person I do all these scenes with, and his birthday is the perfect time to do that.
Yeah.
And in part, I want to do it because I do adore you and think that's like
you've never said that
a lovely
the a
thing.
Word to me.
Great. Again, my partner touched me for the first time in public for 6 years. So like, again, I'm not a public displays of affection person, but I was like, I want to do something to like show the world how important Ryan is to me. So I was like, I'll obviously do the most romantic gesture of an Instagram birthday post. And so then I found a great picture of me creeping you.
Yeah.
I was like, this is great. I spent an hour at work trying to draft a message.
You were going to say we should start that segment called Was That Funny?
I know, but instead you made me go through this awkward thing that you cannot cut now. It's in the world forever. What's your favorite thing about me? What is it?
Well, I just wanted to know.
Just tell me already. dear journal, today Christina told me I looked chic.
Yeah. I'll write that down. Okay, we should do it.
All right, segment.
Okay.
Was that funny? Nobody knows, but we're gonna try to figure it out together. Oh, you got into it that time. Thank you.
I thought
I should
support
it. Can't fight it. Join it.
Do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I can go first.
Okay.
Okay. Before I go into the this is something funny, I want to just do a quick little plug for a little movie called Paddington 2, which was nowhere short of life changing. JP, have you seen Paddington 2? Paddington 2?
No, but I've heard really good things.
It is unbelievable. It brings joy back into your life and the world. Like, Paddington is the sweetest little bear who loves everyone and finds the good in everyone in every situation. And aside from like some weird stuff about prison in the movie and like a very skewed prison, it is the most heartfelt, touching film. And it's not even just like the content of it is so good and also very funny, but just how it's filmed. It feels like you're in a Wes Anderson, like quirky, like the acting is so good. And
are you comparing Paddington 2 to a Wes Anderson movie?
Everyone is. Everyone is doing it. I Googled it before I said it out loud. And I was like, no, this is real. Because the colors in it and like the acting and how quirky the plot is. Like Hugh Grant is this like evil robber thespian who uses all of his costumes and characters to rob things.
I love Hugh Grant.
Really?
Yeah.
I know.
He's very politically active, and I just like him.
He's a handsome man still.
Oh, my goodness.
That's
salt and pepper.
I will say that much. Okay, but that's my plug for Paddington 2. Is everyone should watch it. If you're just having a bad day, I'm going to watch it again this weekend. Because this week's been kind of stressful, and I'm like, I just need a little Paddington in my life.
Okay, I'll do a plug too, so this is good. Keep going.
Okay, do you want to do your plug?
No.
Okay, so my more in-depth, which is actually not more in-depth than my Paddington 2 love, is I want to like...
Wait. Where's the talk about Paddington 1?
Paddington 1 is excellent. It's so good. Like, has 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. Paddington 2 brings it to a whole other level. It has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I don't believe that.
It does. It does. It totally does.
She points at JP like,
it does.
Back me up
it
here.
It has 100%. It's like one of the most highly rated movies of all time.
Okay.
Everyone watch it. Paddington 2. That's P-A-D-D-I-N-G-T-O-N.
You might not have heard of it.
I-N-G-T-O-N.
Right. Okay, give me your was that funny. Wow, he's showing
100%.
Us.
100%. Look at Paddington's little face and he's eating a sandwich in the shape of a 2.
Okay.
Like, I love him.
Okay.
I love him so much.
All right.
Too much.
All right.
I wasn't ready to see him again.
We're ready to see a fictional bear eating a sandwich.
I'll wait till you meet him.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Sorry. Where was I? Okay. My second thing is not new.
No.
It's a throwback. And this is for two reasons. One, it's one of my favorite movies that I think is undervalued in society. And two, this is a little bit of fan service. We have a really loyal fan named Tara who also loves this movie and thinks it should be talked about more. And that movie is Little Giants.
Like the football movie?
Yeah. It is.
All right.
Okay, so I recently rewatched it. And you know when you rewatch a movie you watched as a kid and you're like, and especially movies from the 90s and like the 80s. Like when I watch John Hughes movies now.
Wait, JP, what's a Rotten Tomatoes on Little Giants?
That is bullshit.
It's 40%.
That is such bullshit. It is such a good movie.
Isn't that the one where, no, before you do this, isn't that the one where one of the kids can only like catch toilet paper?
Yes.
And so the quarterback throws toilet paper or something?
Not in a game. The games are still professional. Just while they're practicing, they throw toilet paper to get him more confident. And then when he finally catches the football, spoiler, it is beautiful.
Why can he only catch toilet paper?
I don't remember. But it's good.
I love that there's a writer's room somewhere where somebody's like, yeah, let's make a really complex character. He can only catch toilet paper, though.
For those of you who have not seen Little Giants, one, stop everything you're doing and go watch Paddington 2 and then Little Giants in that order. Because I think Paddington 2 would warm your soul up to accept Little Giants. But anyways, that's just the order I'd say if you're going to do that marathon. It's about this girl. It's also just a deeply feminist film, which is so rare for one, a family movie, I find, and two, a family movie made in the 90s. But it's about this girl.
Have you seen Little Mermaid?
All right. We could go down that another day. It's about this girl who tries out for the community town football team, and her uncle's the coach, and her uncle doesn't let her on the team. He lets some shittier guys on the team because she's a woman. Mm. So she goes home and she's like, what the F? And her dad, who's the guy from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. What's his name?
Rick Moranis.
Thank you. He is like, sweetie.
Who's a Canadian.
Is he?
Yeah, he's from Second City.
Oh, I love that even more. Yeah. So he's like, sweetie, we'll start our own football team of misfits. So they pull these misfits who didn't make the team, and and this kid who shows up wrapped in a foam mattress being like, my mom said I had to wear this. And then they start practicing and they build their way up, and then they have to go up against the bigger, badder football team.
The sexist team.
The sexist team. And it's so good. It is such a funny movie. The kids are hilarious, and it holds up today. There's nothing shitty in it. There's no horrible tropes. It's this really empowering movie about this father and daughter who are like, fuck the rules, we're starting our own football team and we'll take you down. I won't tell you how it ends.
But that kid eventually catches toilet paper
and a football.
I want to be that kind of dad, you know?
I know.
I want to be the dad that's a competitive dad, but also let me be with you through this.
I know.
Yeah.
I want that to be my dad. No, my dad's great. That came out wrong. Dad, I love you.
Do you want me to be your dad?
Yes. My favorite thing about you is that you just scream father figure to me. But no,
I'm only 32.
That's my... And only look 32.
Thank you.
That's my plug for the week of something funny is Little Giants. Everyone watch it.
You know, normally I do throwbacks, so I appreciate that you.
Yeah. Also, I'm still watching One Day at a Time, and it's amazing. I'm done.
Okay. All right. We switch today because I'm going to do new stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah. I watched Fred Armisen stand up for drummers.
Okay.
So Fred Armisen from SNL in Portlandia.
Yeah.
He is a really funny guy. I don't need to sell Fred Armisen to people. Mm-hmm. But then he was in a band before he became an SNL famous guy.
Oh, I didn't know that. Nothing about him.
And he was a drummer in a band. And so he did this stand-up set uniquely tailored towards drummers.
Is it the rhythm of comedy? What is it?
It's all about drum humor about being a drummer. And so the first shot is all these people hey, show me your drum skills. And then if you impress the security, they'll let you in. And so
he did a whole set.
The intention is to be all about drummers and drum humor and whatever.
And it was good.
It was really.
Were you ever a drummer?
But I was in a band, as you know.
As I know.
So I kind of knew some of it. So he veers between very specific drummer humor and then he has kind of his own brand of humor where he doesn't talk about drummer stuff. He goes through. So he pulls out a map of all the U.S. states.
Yeah.
Brings out a pointer stick and points at every state and does the accent from that state.
What?
He is so good at accents and impressions.
He's a sketch actor. So that makes sense to me.
And he's amazing. And the way he does all the New York accents, he does Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens.
They're different.
Ugh. Anyway, so just for that, you should watch amazing. That. It's really good. Some of it, it's only an hour, so some of it you might be
drums. Cool.
But if you like Fred Armisen, he's just really goofy. I highly recommend it.
Is it on Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
All right.
I'll recommend that. I also want to say that I met him once at the end of a Upright Citizens Brigade show.
What?
And he was a special contributor.
For ASCAS, yeah.
And I just launched at him. And I was
with your claws
hello, Fred Hammer. Hello, Fred Armisen. Can I get a picture with you, please? And Sarah took a picture of me and I just I look ridiculous. My eyes are wide open. I'm
no, that's having a celebrity sex for the first though. Time. I didn't need that visual. No.
Like, I'm so into
your
him.
Your eyes are just wide open.
Yeah.
I'll never be able to see you in Sarah again.
But he was so nice. Like, he just was like, hi, like, thank you for saying that you love me. Because I obviously, like, started the sentence, like, hi, Fred Armisen, I love you.
Yeah.
And he's like, do you do comedy? And it's like, oh my goodness, Fred, like, I just started.
I took my first 101 improv class. Any tips?
Yeah, he's, yeah. Anyway, so that was my experience.
That's so cool.
Watch Fred Armisen. Stand Up for Drummers is very good.
Okay.
My plug is a guy that I really like. His name's James Acaster.
Okay.
He's a British comedian. I saw him on Conan O'Brien and he did a set about apricots and it was so funny.
I'm so jealous of people that can make jokes about shit like apricots. Yeah. I'm like, how do you see an apricot and be like, that's funny? Like, where's that dried fruit? All I would do is poop jokes.
Yeah.
Did he do poop jokes?
None.
I respect that. Yeah.
And his opening line is like, I'm going to do a set on apricots. And I bet you're thinking to yourself, oh, great. Another British comedian talking about apricots. And you're just like, I was just like sold right away. Anyway, so he has 4 Netflix specials coming out. I think they're like an hour each. And he's, again, not that I discovered this guy. He was on Conan O'Brien, for goodness sake. But he's not very well known in North America.
Yeah.
He's like, he's a young guy and he's getting like a lot of, good press in like Europe and New Zealand and stuff. He does like
so
that.
So I can look him up on the YouTube.
You should. But you should also, at the end of March, his 4 next Netflix specials come out and you should watch them. They're very good.
Okay, I will.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't promise, but I'm going to try.
I know you won't.
I'm really
I know you personally won't, but other people might.
They might. Email us if you do. I'm really trying to pull out those emails.
Or send us a tweet at Scene Partners.
Or like Instagram direct message. We've left that open.
Yeah.
You're
going to get a ton of dick pics.
You can DM us anytime.
Have you ever got a dick pic?
Like in my whole life?
Yeah.
I actually don't think so.
That's so sad.
Why is that sad?
Because people...
Oh my God, it's not sad. Is there something wrong with
there's
me?
A bunch of people getting unrequested dick pics.
Yeah.
There's surely...
I've never requested a dick pic.
Oh, okay.
No, I've never been like, where is this coming from?
I don't know. That's like, I just...
Mom, I've never requested a dick pic.
That's good to know, you know? That's good to know. You don't have an unmet need.
Oh my God. I don't even know how to go about it. What would you just text someone and be like, show me your dick?
Yeah.
I can never be single again. If anyone required me to request dick pics for like, someone's like, I really want to send you the dick pic. I'd be like, could you not?
That's the thing though. With dick pics is they're often like unrequested. They just show up.
Yeah, and that's horrible.
I was reading an article by a woman who is a sex columnist for Vice.
Okay.
And she's like her picture. She's like a hottie, whatever. Maybe it doesn't even matter. I don't know. I've never sent a dick pic. So anyway,
where's this going?
But no, a guy sent her a dick pic after an article she wrote. And then she messaged him. She's like, hey, I want to interview you for an article on why you sent this to me.
Yes, I love that.
And she's like, what made you think that I'd want this? And he was like, I don't know. And he like, it was a super interesting interview because eventually he got to the point where he was like saying, I sent that to you because I thought you probably get a lot of messages.
And this is going to stand out.
And this will stand out. And it, like in your head, that's a weird that's ass so logic. But
yeah.
You're like, okay, I guess that, sure. It did stand, because she was like, yeah, it did stand out.
Yeah, but...
And then she was like, well, what do you want to come of it? Like, what did you think would come of it?
You'd be like, nice dick.
Yeah.
That's a big one. Have you seen that? I haven't looked at it in a long time because dick pics scare me. But have you seen the Tumblr? There was a Tumblr of dick pics.
I would never look at this Tumblr.
It's dick pics, but then photographers commenting on the dick pics from like a photographer lens of like, this does not follow the rule of thirds. The lighting's off here, like the shadow over here. So it's just like analyzing how sloppy, like if someone sent me, like not, I'm not asking for this. I'm not requesting a dick pic right now. But if someone sent me like an
DMs are open.
DMs are open. And if someone sent me an artful dick pic, like a dick on like roses.
A salad.
Yeah. With like good lighting and like a proper angle. I'm like, I respect the artistry of this dick pic.
Yeah.
You know?
Guys, it's pretty impulsive, I'm sure. So I don't know how well thought out of it is.
Oh, like, I've never sent a guy a picture of like my boobs. You brought the, you were like, has anyone ever sent you a dick pic? And the moment I say boobs, you're like, I can't even look at her.
Well, okay. I mean, do you want to have this conversation?
I don't know. I'm overwhelmed.
Nobody's ever looked at a dick and thought, that's nice.
Yeah.
People often will say, hey, boobs, those are nice. But like, nobody's been like, nice dick, man. Nobody's ever said that. Yeah.
I would if it was like a nicely placed dick on a bed of salad. No, that sounds horrible.
A bed of salad.
Well, you said the salad thing, yeah. So I was trying to play off that, but now it just sounds like I want to eat dick. We've got to move on.
Okay. Well, okay. I will tell you this really funny Jerry Seinfeld bit, not about dick pics, but about like, why would you send that to me? Of like, he does a joke about like men honking their horn when they're like passing a hot woman.
Yeah.
And there's like, and then he's like, his joke is like, what do you want her to do? And then he's like, pantomimes this thing of her like taking off her heels and chasing after the car. And, you know, the car slows down. It's like, thank goodness you honked at me. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known you cared about me. And it's just like this. Yeah. Like,
that's so
what
real.
Do you want to come up with?
What
this?
Is like the whole purpose? Okay, if we're going to get serious for a second after I wanted to eat dick. But it really is like, I went for a run recently. You're going to be okay. I went for a run like a while ago. I was running and this guy stopped me and was like, hey. And I like took my headphones out because I had no idea what was happening. I was like, hi. And he goes, you know what would help you run better? I was like, what?
Oh, no.
And he goes, if you think about sucking my dick. And I was like, fuck you, which is what I said. And then I kept running. But I was like, such a like, I have power over you and your safety and like how you feel
in
the
car.
Street. And just like what? I was just like, who, like, what are you thinking? You're like, I just need to assert some power in this space to be like, I need to make you feel unsafe. And so that you know that I have more power on the street than you do.
Oh, this conversation did a 180.
I'm sorry.
I fully agree. And like,
but that's the car honking is doing the same thing.
Justified. Like, I understand why any woman would feel intimidated. You don't know who's in that car. You don't know if they're going to like be violent towards you. They don't know if they're going to put you in that fucking car and take you somewhere. Like,
no, it's very scary.
So like, it's
which is why
full power move.
That scene from Master of None, I'm going to say it again and again, yeah. Of like the difference between a guy walking home at night and a girl walking home at night is just like so perfectly captured in that scene of like, yeah. Such a different experience. Anyways, if you want to DM me dick on some salad, then do it.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Please don't. That's not a request for dick pics. Thank you. Welcome to the podcast, Angus MacDonald.
I don't know why I was waiting for applause for some reason. That's just a little trip inside my head.
Can you tell that Christina doesn't...
Oh, I just unplugged my headphones. No, it's all good. We're
keep
good.
Going.
We're
You're doing great.
Yeah, we're doing great.
Can you tell that Christina doesn't do intros
very much and she...
Well, I get really flustered.
You did a great job.
Thank you so much.
And then
he also pulled
out my headphones immediately.
Angus also, I've been on his podcast. He knows I require a lot of positive reinforcement.
I just dropped an F-bomb. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's totally fine.
You know,
every time we need to start telling guests, because everyone says it within the first like 2 minutes, they're like, I fucking love improv. And they're like, I'm so sorry.
It was
sorry.
Like the first thing I said.
We should warn you, this is on the Disney Channel, this podcast.
Shit.
We're making the big bucks. So Angus, you were on a couple of Ottawa improv troops.
Yes, yeah.
Name them.
Okay.
So even ones that aren't really together anymore?
Yeah. Go
okay,
down
just,
lane.
You know, I was on a team called Trevor. We just had a farewell show. And then 2 months later, performed again at the Ottawa Improv Festival.
Yeah.
The big one I'm on right now is Quest Friends Forever. It's a improvised D&D, Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, we like to spell out acronyms.
No nerds.
No,
listen.
I throw it around a lot. I'm like, if someone listens to a podcast, they know
D&D.
Twong and Agnes, which also just kind of had a bit of a hiatus because Tongue's moving away. I'm sure you guys have mentioned him on this. What else? Bro, Your Boat. That was another one I did.
I saw you three times. Really? I was a fan. Yeah,
we won the first tournament, and then we came back and we got our butts handed to us.
You did. It was a really close competition. It was very close.
The best part was it was a 3-vote like difference. And my mom, my dad, and my sister were all going to come. Not that I want to stack the audience, but I was just like, oh, hey, heads up, guys. They're like, hey, I'm so sorry we couldn't make it. I'm like, oh, it's cool. We lost. And they're like, oh, no. And I'm like, yeah, it was by 3 votes. And they're like, are you joking? They thought I was screwing them. I'm like, nah, it is what it is.
So you're fully comfortable doing improv in front of your family?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've had them come a couple times.
Do you find it weird when people have never invited their family to an improv show?
Oh no, my goodness, she's setting you up.
I
for
totally
something.
Get it.
Really?
I definitely get it. Like I took a chance and was like, hey, you guys should come see my stuff. And then my mom was like, that was really fun. Let me know when you do it again. My mom and dad are really supportive. My sister's obviously supportive too.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're good people.
Let me know when you do something more family appropriate.
Yeah.
Let me know when you reference breasts less.
Which I will never do. I will never.
Mom, you just need to accept it. I say breast a lot. God.
My mom is like heartbroken that I don't let her come.
Really?
She knows about it.
So she knows about it actively.
Yeah, because she's on Facebook. You know, she sees.
That's something you could probably set up, Christina.
Just don't know. I need to work on it. I just like don't know if it's crossing a line or whatever.
It sounds like it would be.
Don't.
Okay, so how did you get into improv? Tell us your improv story.
Yours was great.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I went to college to study video games. Yeah, so I was working a kind of a boring-ish desk job, and I started listening to podcasts instead of music. And so I got into like, you know, How Did This Get Made, Comedy Bang Bang, a lot of Earwolf stuff. Basically, I listened to like all those shows. And Improv for Humans was a big
Improv
one.
Improv for Humans. That's what. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Improv for Humans is a huge one. Matt Besser, all the UCB people. And I basically kind of was like, oh, I should go. See. I never thought about doing it myself. I was just like, oh, yeah, I should go see improv in Ottawa. I wonder if there's any there here. And I posted on Reddit. And I got a bunch of answers back from people, including I think it might have been Chris or someone from now the Improv Embassy back when they were Experimental Farm Theater. They kind of reached out and were like, hey, you know, we're doing a show like this week and, you know, we teach classes and stuff like that. So I started messaging them a bit. I was like, yeah, I hadn't really thought about doing it myself, but I'd love to give it a try. Went out, saw the show, fell in love with it like pretty immediately. And and then I took a class. I was actually in their like first round of like classes.
That's
like
really
the first
cool.
like official 101. Yeah. And I got off stage after doing my first show and I looked at Chris and Danny who run the Improv Embassy now. And I was just like, I want to do that again.
That's so,
and so
cool.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years now and I've gone to a bunch of festivals. I got to perform in New York.
Yeah.
In which I actually, so you're How Did This Get Made person?
I'm a huge How Did This Get Made.
You know, Jason Mantzoukas.
Hi. Well, listen to any podcast that he is a guest on. I follow his career.
It's the only episode of the Kevin Pollak show that I listened to.
Oh my God, I love Jason Mantzoukas.
So I'm a big fan too. I'm a huge, huge fan. I definitely think of him as like, oh, that's the guy that made me want to do improv.
So I went
to New York and I was like, I need to see at least one of the slots he's in. And I saw one and it was amazing.
He's such a good improviser. Yep.
And then he was standing outside talking to someone.
No, I don't want to hear it. I'm unplugging.
I ruined it. I went up and I went to shake his hand. And then partway, like while extending my hand, I was like, wait, I think he's a germaphobe. So I pulled my hand back really quickly and was just like, oh yeah. Hey man. You're really good. I just really appreciate that. Thank you. And he's like, oh yeah, thanks, man. And then I like scurried away.
Ran away.
I would have rushed if anyone's a Comedy Bang Bang listener. I would have rather just yelled like, "Hey, Nong Man!" from across the street.
God.
Would have been a way better interaction.
I think there's like in the improv world, there's like people who have kind of hung around the community for a while and like just like going to shows. But there's those people that once they do it, they're like, I need to do that again. It's they're the people, it's like the love at first sight people. And I know Christina and I are that way, so I'm happy to hear that you're that way too.
I was really fortunate. The first team I was on that me and some friends put together was Trevor. And I was basically surrounding myself with more people that were like that, immediately did it. And we're just like, I need to do more of it.
More and more. Yeah.
Can you, cause I think we're the same way, but maybe can you explain for people what it would be like to be on a team where you've worked with them so extensively, you know, kind of what their next move is.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's funny cause you start to know, you know, people's strengths, you know, like, you know, I know this person's really good at impressions, or this person's really good at, you know, taking the ball and running with it. This person's good at generating premises, so I'm going to wait for them to step out. Yeah, it's just something you just get, like, I don't know. It's the same thing with people who don't do improv and you're in a group of friends, but you meet up and you watch football or something like that, for example. Yeah. There's usually, you get into these bits and these jokes with each other and just this thing that you jive with people and you're like, okay, we're on the same page. We have the same knowledge base and stuff like that. So really it's just that transported to, now we're going to perform together and hopefully have people laugh with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really cool. The improv, like this idea that you go on stage and like when I'm performing with Christina or Melissa, my job is to make Christina look good or make Melissa look good. And I know, because I trust them, that they're going to set me up for things that I'm stronger at as an improviser. And it's this cool team dynamic that exists in improv. And I don't know what other comedy forms it exists in, but where you're purposefully looking to make your team members look good and setting them up for like a good bit or a good, like, yeah.
Christina's, well, I'll always make you sing. Cause I'm like, it looks to the audience, it's funny because the audience is like, oh, she's putting him in it. Sorry, behind the curtain, listener. But it's like, oh yeah, you're putting him in a corner. Oh, you're making him do something fun. And he's like, I will sing the shit out of that song.
So for my first year, probably more than that. I was, in like 80% of the scenes I'd be doing, I would just play like a straight man. And for those of you that don't know what that is, that's kind of like the normal person. It's kind of a bad name. It's called the straight man now. So he's like the straight person.
But like everyone else around you gets to be super like quirky and zany characters. And you're like driving the scene, essentially.
I guess I was the Paul Rudd character.
That's perfect.
I would always point out like, oh, isn't this so crazy? But I would do that in that same kind of fashion. I would use that as a tool to like fuel the fire of my teammates and stuff like that. Like I see them doing something and I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
And I think there's certain characters you have that you'll never shake. Like I will always have my grade 8 awkward girl because that's so like good. My sweet spot. I'm like, ooh, here I am back in it. But for, especially when you're new to improv, you have like those like three characters that if you have nothing in your head, you're like, I'm playing one of them. Like that's where I'm comfortable.
I'll tell you what breaks that. I went out of town with Trevor. I think it's fair to say this now. It's been a while. We went all the way to Montreal to do a show.
Yeah.
And it didn't go well. It was just not a great show.
It
was a thing where I noticed, I'm like, oh, I went immediately to, this is a sure thing in Ottawa. This works every time.
Yeah.
Cause like you just weren't getting the reaction you wanted from the audience. So it's like, it's not like, I don't want to pull the curtain and be like, oh, it was like a pre-prepared bit, but it was like something that I've done is a pattern.
Yeah,
it was a pattern. So I'm like, we'll go to that and they'll love that. No, it was nothing. It was like maybe slightly more of a response than before.
Yeah.
It was also like an 11:30 show on like a Friday night.
In a different city, like it's harder.
Yeah. So that certainly breaks you of those things where you're like, no, that, you're like,
now I know that's not guaranteed. Like I can't fall back on that.
Like you do a really good New York mom.
Thank you.
But I'm in New York, I don't know how well.
I did not do her when we performed in New York.
We should give relationship advice.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, wait, I had one more question.
Okay,
because you teach improv.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
plug for the Improv Embassy classes. So like, what is like the, like when people come and they're really nervous to try it, what is like your first tip to them?
So this is one I've actually been thinking about. I've got like a new one. I had my old one was to just kind of like, I don't know. It's pretty vague and ambiguous. Sort of been like, just relax. I've kind of expanded
chill
upon
out,
that.
Man.
Hey buddy, just slow down. My one now is to like really stress to people that they shouldn't try to be funny.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. I had a student who just started like doing what sounded like a stand up bit. So I was like, I was at the office the other day and just starts going into this, and it had nothing to do with them. It was like, and I was like, oh, that's really cool. But like, what's something that happened to you, this week? And it was, so stuff like that, people are like, I'm trying to teach them like technical stuff of like when to make certain moves. Cause there are like, there's like a structure to improv. Like how to be good
learning
at
those muscles.
Yeah. And trying to get people, they're like, well, I want to do the move, but I also want it to be funny. I'm like, well, don't worry about that right now. Just worry about doing the move. Just worry about ending a scene. Just worry about transitioning. Like worry about those things and then worry about making it funny.
If you spend your time being a good scene partner,
it's going to be funny.
It's going to pay off for you. Yeah.
I love improv.
Most episodes end with Christina crying about how much she loves improv.
It's fucking great, right?
I've just been doing so much stand up, which has been so fun. I know I miss improv so much.
She's really good at it.
Good at stand up? I could see that.
Thank you.
Good at improv. I know that.
Thank you. This is keep it coming.
No, she's actually hired me to be somebody who keeps her humble. So every now and then you need to remind her, like, you're trash at
it. It's funny because she hired me to do the opposite.
I know I did.
Christina, you're doing great.
Thank you. I like to have both of you in the same room.
We're canceling each other out right now. We can just leave.
You too. Here we go. Dear Abby, I recently started seeing someone and we have shared a wealth of information about ourselves with each other. When I asked him his last name, he said it was Erickson. When I asked him if he had a middle name, he responded that he didn't. Soon after, I saw his driver's license. It had a completely different last name from the one he gave me. And it turns out he does have a middle name after all. Now I'm starting to question everything he told me, and I'm afraid he may have lied about even bigger things. What reason would he possibly have to lie about such a simple thing? And how should I confront him about it? Signed, just plain confused in Georgia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So
in Georgia.
Yeah.
Stuff is weird. Have you ever lied about a middle name?
No, and I have a weird middle name.
What's your middle name?
I don't want to talk about that. No, I'll give you a hint. Do you remember Charlotte's Web?
Sort of.
Okay, do you know the pig's name in Charlotte's Web? Wilbur. Ah, shit.
Wilbur!
Okay. Wilbur.
Yeah, so that's my middle name. So
I have a friend whose middle name is Easter, so.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, I don't have a middle name, and that's not a lie.
Really?
I could look at my driver's license.
Are you lying?
Are you lying?
I'm lying that I have a driver's license. I don't know how to drive, but I do not have a middle name.
Okay.
I have a couple questions.
Yeah.
Like, do you think she should confront him or just like leave him? Like, how does she confront him? And also, why do you think he would lie? Like, are there legitimate reasons to lie about your name that maybe...
Does it say how long they've been together?
They've been together for 6 months.
Okay.
Recently started seeing them.
Okay, so I'm going to say that's less than 6 months.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, I that kind of changes things a little bit.
You're allowed to lie in the first
So I'm just saying I want to give people the benefit of the doubt, right? If I'm using that correctly. I just think there might foreseeably be some reason the guy wants to hide his name. Maybe he's in the process of changing his name from family stuff, not to get too heavy.
Oh. I'm going to drastically disagree with Angus and say,
please,
he is a criminal running from a criminal past.
Ooh, could be.
And in order to get employment in Georgia, he needed to have a clean criminal record because he drives one of those trucks that transports money from banks and stores. And you can't have a criminal record, I'm guessing.
That was like his dream job.
That's a lot of specifics.
And he killed a guy in Arkansas.
Which is near Georgia.
Is it?
Wow.
Maybe.
Yeah, and he hit him in a peach field.
Yeah.
Because there's peaches in Georgia.
So he killed the guy in Arkansas, transported his body over state lines.
To a peach field in Georgia.
Yeah.
And he's like, now I go by Erickson. Can I say the part that weirds me out the most?
Please.
Like the last name thing, I've dated someone who lied about their age to me for a long time. They told me they were 24, they were 32.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was that hot?
No.
It's fucking weird. Wait, really? You couldn't tell? No,
shut up. This is not 32. On me. What the fuck?
You got like a gray beard.
He was 49. Okay, but the thing that weirds me out
more. Back in the 70s.
Yeah, he kept dropping specifics. He's like, when dude, who shot JR? Where's the beef?
Okay, no.
It couldn't work his computer.
The Bee Gees were in his like car.
The actual Bee Gees. He was one of them.
Okay, no. What I was going to say, the weird part to me is, so not the last name. I'm like, if I could lie about my last name, I would. Muehlberger sucks as the last name. I would say I'm Christina Erickson in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Okay. What happened with you and this dude?
Yeah.
You lied about
32 to 24. That's such a big gap. That's,
it was something like that. Because I got him a birthday card for his 24th birthday, and it was like, he was nuts.
And he's like, what's a Pokemon?
Okay, but anyways, we broke up. It's fine.
Yeah.
Was he hot?
He was actually really hot.
Well, I don't know what he said. Actually, 32-year-olds can be hot.
What was that brand, A&F, Abercrombie, and Fitch? He looks like one of their models.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
At 32? I'm 32.
He might have been 30 at the time. It's whatever. He was way older than he said he was.
All right. So do you want to go ahead and
advise?
How
would you confront?
Concerned and confused,
like, pretend
or something?
I'm the guy that's lied about my name. Yeah. What would you say to me?
Well, okay. So my one last curiosity, my one last question is, so she said she found the, or they said they found the ID, right? The driver's license.
Yeah.
Were they snooping for that?
I bet. She doesn't. Interesting. They don't say that, but that has to be.
If it's under 6 months.
Yeah.
I let it
ghost
wait. I let it wait.
Oh, you keep going.
Yeah. No, if I've got a big reason why I'm hiding that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell someone I've been seeing less than 6 months, but maybe the 6 month, maybe closer to a year. I'm like, okay, look, I need to be honest with you. This is tough.
My name's Tad Ferguson.
I'm actually 24.
Shut up.
But these abs are real.
I wait for peach harvest and see if a body turns up.
Yeah,
and then we'll know.
You take them out. You take them out in your dad's big rig, and you just say like, "Hey, do you know how to double clutch?" And then he's just like, "Oh, maybe." And then he's clearly a murdering truck driver, and you get rid of him.
Get him.
Kick him to the curb.
Yeah.
Okay. So neither of you gave this person very good advice.
Well, no, his was waited out.
I think we did.
Mine was also. I guess I don't know when harvest is. Probably in the fall.
Okay. Do you want to hear Dear Abby's advice?
Oh, we got a real answer.
Yeah. Dear Confused. The reason someone would give false information is usually because the person has something to hide.
Yeah.
Unless Mr. Erickson, in quotations, is in witness protection, my guess is he is married or has a criminal record he doesn't want you to discover. Thank you.
The best part is, if he's in witness protection, they definitely gave him a new ID and he's not keeping the old one around. It's not that.
Yeah, Abby's not a detective.
It's a memory piece. He's like, I might scrapbook that one day. No one will look in my wallet.
She's safe. I feel like she's safe.
No, he's a fucking criminal. Yeah. No, okay. Actually, the married thing. I bet he's married.
Like, if he does, maybe if he's a truck driver or a pilot, he travels a lot. He probably does have another family. That's probably what this is.
That might actually be what it is.
That's probably
Georgia.
What it is.
Georgia.
Yeah, does he have a Georgian accent?
I do declare.
Be from New York and in Georgia, then you know. Hey, Tony, pass me that. Tony. Tony, come over here.
Wait, is it the country of Georgia? very different.
I do declare.
Okay. Improv scene. We're
let's
ready.
Get it together, for sure. Too much laughter.
What's your premise?
My premise?
So there's this confused girl in Georgia.
Well, we already read it. So my premise, I was a big sci-fi. I'm a sci-fi fan. So I wanted to bring something maybe science fiction-y to your show.
This is putting us out of our comfort zone. Let's do it.
I wanted to do a scene involving someone going back in time to talk to themselves.
Themselves? Okay.
Ah, it worked. Microwave the perfect burrito. Hot on the outside, ice cold on the inside.
Honey.
Mm-hmm. Yes, dear.
Honey. I think, can I say something?
Yeah, sure. What's up?
I feel like you have so much more potential. I feel like you could be so much more if you just applied yourself.
Look, I'm not telling you my middle name.
Just tell me.
Nope, not doing it.
Fine. I'm pretty sure it's Stewart.
Well, wait. Excuse me? That's a pretty good guess.
What? I Stewart. That's I said a pretty Stewart, good guess. Not Stewart. That's a specific guess. I said Stewart.
This is terrible.
That was just a guess. I would never
I
know
left
how.
My, I left my wallet out again, didn't I?
Sure, it's that, not the time machine I made in the garage.
Oh. Oh, thank God.
Excuse me. I've come from a distant reality. Of a different time. My name is John Stewart Erickson.
Yeah, that's me. I mean, that might be me.
You.
What? I'm so flabbergasted. Time travel's real. I would never know that. I haven't done it.
I've come in through the garage and you look just like me.
You look like me, but maybe like 32.
Space you. Yeah.
Ages are so hard to tell sometimes.
I'm from the future.
What's the future like? Have they solved world hunger?
They haven't. I wouldn't know, though. I've never done time travel.
Look, can I use your time machine to go back in time to hide my wallet so my wife never finds out my middle name?
I'm here with a warning, and you want to do something stupid like that.
What could be more important than her finding out my middle name?
I'm still here. It doesn't seem that important. Stewart's beautiful.
I remember her from a corner of my mind. And
we met at a corner store in 1982.
And we would date and she would just talk and talk.
You're talking about stuff that's already happened to
you. Yeah,
talk about
remember
something that hasn't happened
sure,
to me yet.
Sorry. Can I just take you into the bedroom of our...
Oh. Yeah,
like our condo.
Okay.
I remember buying this condo. Anyway.
Yeah. No, yeah. Yeah,
we
sure.
need a separate room
I'll
from
be
her.
In the garage.
Okay. Now,
John Stewart Erickson.
Mm-hmm.
Me and you.
You and me.
Catherine turns on us.
What?
I know it seems like a passionate love now, but...
So passionate.
She will try
Honey,
to murder you.
I hand-dried your socks.
Thank you. Say thank. I know.
Thank you.
Shake it.
I know it seems so passionate right now, but she will try to murder you.
How's she gonna do it?
With a heavy dose of burrito.
Honey, I microwaved you a burrito. Yum yum.
And didn't you just have a burrito?
I did. Why would I want another one?
Honey.
Okay, no wait. If you're here, she clearly didn't kill me or you or us.
No, because I had an even future-y person come back and warn me.
Okay, so what I need to do is go into the future and warn that person.
I don't know.
Honey, it's getting cold.
One second.
We could kill her right now.
Oh, I don't know. But then what would we do? We're just two beautiful men.
We could...
I'm just going to press my...
You saw where I was going.
I'm
going
to press my finger to your lips. Let's do this.
Make out?
Yeah, and then one kill our wife. Kill our wife. Out of protection. It sounds like she's gonna kill us.
Protect us.
Yeah, to protect us.
Yeah.
I'm saving two people now.
Yeah. Because I'm a person.
Honey,
you're a person.
Honey, this is a weird time to bring this up, but what's your health insurance and death insurance like?
It's a lot.
Wow.
Why would you say that?
I don't know. I panicked.
I'm going to make you a burrito, sweetie.
A third one. Okay.
This is too much. When she's done with the microwave,
That's just it powering up. It's not done yet.
You should also get a new microwave.
In the future,
we have much better microwaves.
Well, I would assume it's the future. I'm doing the best I can.
Sure. Okay.
Hey,
Yeah.
The Colts, they ever win the World Cup again? What? Yep, World Cup?
No.
No, never again.
The Colts never win the World Cup.
God damn
honey,
it.
You were so stupid as a 26-year-old.
Honey, stop growing out with your future self and come eat these burritos. I made eggs.
I've never killed anybody before. I don't know.
I know you haven't.
Honey, I'm going to chop them up with this meat butcher knife.
Meat butcher knife. She's never been so specific about the knife she's using before.
Sounds like she's using small little tweezers for it.
Okay. Let's just go outside. I assume she's poisoned the burrito.
Sure. So we could just shove it in her mouth.
Yeah. Or, well, okay. I was just going to trick her into eating it, but
Yeah.
Your plan works too.
No.
No, you're.
Hi, I'm future Catherine.
Oh my goodness. But
hey.
Hi.
Well, this clearly indicates we didn't end up killing her.
Yeah, you seem different.
And more confident.
Yeah. I am. Oh, it's such a beautiful. I come a bit after you.
Your
sir,
body looks future. Great.
Thank you.
Have
plastic
you been going to the gym in the future?
Future is wonderful. Mm. We were so happily married for so long. I don't kill you till you're like 62.
That's pretty good.
And she looks good.
Yeah.
Like
okay.
You
maybe.
Have such a good life.
Hmm.
What's such a good life?
What's wow. The microwave situation?
Oh, it's so fast. You just think burrito and it just like comes out of your own mouth.
And then you put it back in your mouth. You, so you vomit your food and then just clear. You
that seems counterintuitive.
You pull it out of your mouth and then you put it back in your
mouth. It makes sense in the future.
Yeah, no, I
I can't get over her body.
I can't get over the burrito thing and also the body thing.
I'm going to go. I'm very uncomfortable.
Are we going to still make out even if we're not going to murder her, though?
I think so.
Okay. 64, did she say, right?
64, yeah. I thought you were propositioning me. It's like one person's in a chair or something.
Yeah, it's almost.
It's almost.
Not quite. It's 5 degrees off.
Honey, come get your burrito.
Do you want to?
You're flirting more with your future self than you've ever done with me.
How about we go get the burrito. We each eat it from one end and we see what happens.
Yeah. I got a shake weight. I think I'm going to be hot one day.
That sounds.
Let's see how this plays out.
Let's see how this
okay,
plays out.
Let's go get some burrito.
And see.
The thing I appreciated about that was that it took the route sci-fi doesn't normally go with that. And it was just like, I'm going to come back and warn you. But then, let's just see what happens.
Let's just hang out together.
Anyway, thanks for coming
thanks
and joining
for
us
coming
today.
Thank for you this very much. Weird podcast.
Will you come, did you have fun? Will you come back?
I absolutely had fun.
Would you like to plug your own podcast?
I would love to. Yeah, if you're fans of podcasts or improv and podcasts, definitely check out the Pod Cavern. It's a little podcast network. Me and some friends put together. My friend put together, and then I leached off it. Mm-hmm. But we've got a podcast on there called the Improv Punch Up, which you were.
I'm a guest on.
Ryan will get you on this soon.
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah.
But if you like improv,
I'm free all next week.
If you like improv and making fun of movies, that's what we do.
Yeah, it's really fun.
And yeah, if you want to try improv, we talked a lot about that. Yeah, check out the Improv Embassy on Rito.
Woo-woo!
Yeah, Google woo. It. Google.
Thanks for coming.
Hey, thanks
for
very much
coming.
Having me,
guys, I don't think I said anything wrong this whole episode.
You did great.
Usually I talk about used condoms.
That's a usual thing?
At least two or three times, yeah. Huh. Yeah. I feel good.
Today's episode was recorded in Ottawa, Ontario at Pop-Up Podcasting, featuring Christina Muehlberger and Ryan Mulligan, recorded by JP Davidson, and featuring music by Nikolai Hadeless, Mr. Gavin, and Foxbeat Music, all available on SoundCloud. Thanks for listening.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.